Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, the poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. When they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress,
he made the stormy still, and the waves of the sea were.
Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Sunday after the Epiphany is from Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do with you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men roared hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory.
For the Lord knows the sight, he appears in his glory.
The epistle is from Romans, chapter 8. "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. Matthew, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Well, let's see. There's a great storm raging on the sea right now, and we're in a little boat about to die. Oh, and you're sleeping like a baby, Jesus. That's why we're afraid. Right? I mean, who could possibly blame the disciples for being afraid? These guys know what's about to happen. Some of them are professional fishermen and are very familiar with being on the sea in a storm. They're afraid. This is a great storm. They know what's about to happen. This thing is about to do them in. Jesus' response then seems out of place. It's obvious why his disciples are afraid. And yet, Jesus never misses an opportunity to teach his disciples. That's what his response is meant to do. That's what this whole event is meant to do. He wants his disciples to learn that when they're in the boat with him, there is nothing at all to be afraid of. Even should the great storm capsize their boat and the sea take their lives, there is nothing for them to fear, for they are with him. And as long as they're with him, all is well. That's a tough lesson for these guys to learn. It's a tough lesson for all of us sinners to learn. In fact, it's a lesson that we simply cannot master this side of glory. Like the disciples in that boat on that stormy sea, there is much that causes us to be afraid living in this dead and dying world. We see sickness and disease, death and destruction all around us. We see broken relationships and poverty and uncertainty everywhere in the world. We have loved ones facing tests and surgeries, or maybe we ourselves are in that position. And we are naturally afraid of what the results may be. We even see on a daily basis, it seems these days, protesting in the streets, people afraid of this or that or the other thing. We see a country divided, and we remember those famous words, "United we stand, divided we fall," and we're afraid at what the future may hold. And as we were reminded again this past Friday by hundreds of thousands of marchers in D.C., we continue to live in a country where many people actually fight tooth and nail to keep abortion legal. It's kind of scary living in a country like that. There are ample reasons for us to be afraid as we live in this vale of tears. And yet, through it all, our Lord's response to us remains the same. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? He wants us to know that all is well. This life is not all there is. There awaits for us the life of the world to come, which we confess week in and week out, that's what we're looking forward to. That we are looking for the life of the world to come. And that life of the world to come, he himself has secured for us. He assumed our human flesh and came into our sin-sick world to overcome it for us, to conquer our enemies of sin, death, and the devil by fulfilling the law in our place and by satisfying the demands of justice as our substitute on the cross, shedding his holy and innocent blood in place of our guilty blood. And in so doing, he has atoned for all of our sins. Like Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish 3 days but emerged alive, Our Lord was in the belly of the tomb for 3 days, but emerged alive, resurrected and glorified to live forever in flesh and to rule over all things. Why then are you afraid, O you of little faith? Your salvation is finished. Your sins are forgiven and forgotten. You are saved in Christ. Eternal life is yours, and as St. Paul reminds us, the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Why then are you afraid? If you're looking for a time in this world where you will have peace and security and no reason to fear, you will continue to look in vain. There will never be a time when this world we live in will be at peace, no matter how many beauty contestants say that that's what they want the most. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will always be sickness and disease, poverty and famine, criminal activities and natural catastrophes. We live in a sinful world filled with sinners. The storms will continue to rage in this valley of the shadow of death. Nothing, my friends, will change that. For the creation itself is in bondage to decay and longs to be set free, groaning as in the pains of childbirth. The creation itself feels the corruption that sin brought upon it. And so, I said this, I think, last week, I'll say it again, it matters not who the president of our country is, which political party currently is in charge, or who runs this or that other country, and so forth. It matters not because we look forward to the life of the world to come. What we know with certainty is that the world in which we live right now is passing away, and that we will continue to experience suffering to one degree or another for as long as our Lord gives us to live here. Life in this world is like being in a boat in the middle of a great storm, being tossed to and fro. And yet, thanks be to God that we are in that boat. For Jesus is in that boat with us. Thanks be to God that He has brought us into the ark of His salvation. Thanks be to God that we have been brought into His church. For the boat is His church, the sea is the world, and the storm, even the great storm, is all the corruption and sin and suffering experienced in this world. But you are in the boat. You are in Christ's church. He Himself has gathered you as His lambs and brought you into His pasture. So why are you afraid, O you of little faith? You have nothing to fear. Your Lord is with you. You are safe in the boat of His church. That's why when you walk into the nave boat, it is said to be a sanctuary, a safe haven from the world and its storms around you. You cry out to your Lord here, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing," and He rebukes the winds and the sea so that there is great calm in your spirit. He reminds you here in His church that you are baptized and adopted into His divine family. He absolves you of your sins time and again, setting you free that you might live in paradise with Him. He preaches His word of comfort to you, reminding you time and again that He has overcome the world for you, and that this world is not all there is. And He feeds you with the sweet honey of His word and with the fruits of your salvation, his very body and blood, in the Holy Supper. He brings you into the boat of his church so that he might calm all your fears, so that he might fill you with his light and love and life and peace, which the world cannot and will not ever be able to comprehend. Yea, though you, sinners that you are, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you and is with you, and you shall fear no evil. For nothing can take you away from the love God has for you in Christ. Let the storms rage as they will in this world. They will continue to rage even within yourselves. You are safe in the boat of Christ's church. Nothing you suffer in this world comes close to comparing to the glory that awaits you in the life of the world to come. Why then are you afraid? You have no reason to fear. Instead, shout out with the psalmist, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." For while heaven and earth will pass away, while this world will go the way of destruction, his word, our Lord, will remain forever. And you with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Away from thy presence.
Holy Church, that all believers in Christ would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and cling to the promise that his steadfast love endures forever. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that their love of the gospel would not grow cold, but ever sound forth from their lips as the healing balm that all sinners, including themselves, need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, our governor, and all who have been placed in authority over us, that they would serve not for selfish gain, but for the common good of all. And for those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve honorably and be well received by their loved ones and our society when their time of service is complete. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful who are now experiencing trials and temptations, that they would be strengthened to persevere by the promise of our Lord. The sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom, that they would be brought to know Jesus Christ by faith and receive the salvation of their souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those experiencing the storms of sickness, disease, and injury, whether still in the midst of those storms, looking forward to them, or recovering, especially all those who have requested our prayers, including David Gursky, Vern Jacquelet, Ella Shaw, Scott McCollum, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whitey, Pastor Dan Chambers, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Pat Howard, Lyle Cole, and Dennis Netsley, that they would be comforted by the knowledge that their Lord has command over all things and will never forsake them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the Holy Eucharist of Christ's very body and blood today, that they would be strengthened and preserved in body and soul unto life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and enjoy heavenly bliss, let us give thanks and praise, that we might be brought to share with them the feast of joy that never ends in the eternal vineyard of our Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right.
Right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth. Thank you.
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The very body of Christ given for you. Thank you. Christ.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.